everyone, and welcome to the Wondering Podcast. My name is Mary.
And I'm Kira.
And we're together! Yay!
In person.
This is actually really weird because we haven't recorded an episode together yet in person. But here we are. I'm in California for the weekend, and it's been so much fun. And there's also a special guest in the room. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Miss Caitlin Slade. Yay!
If you're going to listen to one whole episode, you have to listen to this one.
Aww.
And then you can never listen again.
Hopefully I say something cool.
Yeah.
I haven't even started.
Pressure's on. Pressure's on. The Wondering Podcast.
Dang.
We've also been talking for probably 4 or 5 hours at this point. So many things have been said, and yet I feel like we've actually said nothing yet. So
we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Good yappers. Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to ask the question?
Yeah. So I think we should begin the way we always begin, which is by sharing something wonderful that has happened to us or something that we find wonderful.
Or wait, we should tell everybody who Caitlin is first, because all they know is that Caitlin's here.
Oh my gosh, that might have been important.
So I feel like there's many things that Caitlin is to us, but she was first our acting professor and then like just our one of our best friends ever. Aww. And she has so much wisdom. And we were just saying earlier today that like she has impacted both of our lives and so many other people's lives so much, to the point where it's just the change and how she's impacted us is so fundamental. So this was Mary and I's obvious first choice for somebody to be the guest on the podcast. Like, we, before we even started it, we both agreed. We were like, okay, this is the first person we're having on our podcast.
We didn't have a name for the podcast. We were like, we need
our first guest is Caitlin.
That's so sweet.
We didn't even ask her. I think she hasn't even officially said yes to doing this. But she's here somehow.
No contracts for
in my house.
Also, to paint the picture for you, we picked up Caitlin from the airport today and went to grab dinner. And now we're sitting on the floor in her...
I have a studio with no seating. So we're on the ground on my carpet.
There's no other place I'd rather.
This is the best. And there's we're sitting here with some cookie
raw
dough.
Raw cookie dough.
Some raw cookie dough and a dream. So... yeah, it's been good. And I also should know, I haven't seen Caitlin in four months, or Kira. But Kira and I have been hanging out the last couple of days, and Caitlin just came in.
Yeah.
So it's just been such a blessing to catch up. But I guess I'll share my something wonderful is that we're with Caitlin right now. And recording the podcast in person is so exciting because it's like, I can, like, hear Kira, which is nice, and, like, see your face.
Doesn't randomly glitch at any moment.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Exactly. Exactly. And, like, that's so nice. And also just, like, this whole weekend being in California has been so life-giving. And I'm just really excited about the future and, like, hopefully moving here soon. And, yeah, being with my besties. So, yeah, that's my something wonderful.
Okay, Caitlin, what's your something wonderful?
Okay, from the week, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so many things. I think definitely getting dinner with you two was, like, so lovely. And just hearing how, like, God is working in all of our lives and just seeing, like, the red threads. I know we talk about that a lot in acting, but, like, the red threads of, like, God's goodness, and when you pull that, like, just how deep it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just, like, being reminded of that through people that know me so well and can affirm the places that I need affirmation in.
Yeah.
Was definitely my wonderful thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you do that for us, like, like, I've always known that, like, with you two specifically, like, God just speaks through you so well in my life. And so, like, yeah, I'm just affirming that that's true for me too.
Mm. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah. Okay, Kara.
So mine was at Disneyland. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, my initial one was the coffee that I had at Disneyland, which was a cheesecake cold brew with Cocoa Puffs on top. But I feel like I need to break the cycle of my wonderful thing being coffee.
I can't believe that's your wonderful thing.
No, it's a joke. Joke. That's like it had to be. Like, I have to tell everyone about my coffee that I had this week.
Yes. Okay. There's a coffee of the week.
That's a new
segment for the podcast.
Wait, that has to be in it. That's so good.
Okay. Okay. Starting a new segment. That's the next question.
The next question. Okay. But in all reality, I feel like just today talking to you guys and like being able to like share things that I feel like I just haven't shared with anybody that I thought I had, you know, that was pretty great just to like talk to you guys. I love that so much. And that was wonderful. There was like so many wonderful things today and yesterday.
Yeah.
So
shout out to Bailey and El Paso. I got to finally see El Paso, hang out with her. And we went on a hike. It was like, I just love seeing like the different terrain of like different parts of the U.S. and how beautiful the world is. Like, I just like, it just blows my mind, like how beautiful our country, but also like the world is. And like,
yeah,
how different it is.
How different, like state to state.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's insane. And like, because I love hiking and like, getting to go on a hike in El Paso. Mm-hmm. We went, it was this really rocky trail and but then the just rugged hills and like,
was it hot there or warm?
It was like, no, it was, I think our hike was like 60. Okay. The first day was like 47-50 or like cold.
Good temp.
Yeah. And then it was like 60 degrees, I think, and sunny. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Yeah. So yeah, this week has been really beautiful.
Okay, new segment, coffee of the week.
Coffee of the week.
What coffee have you found wonderful?
So this week I tried the Star Wars Land Disney cold brew. So it's cold brew with like, it was like cheesecake foam on top with Cocoa Puffs. And basically, that was all I thought about while we were at Disneyland. So I had one in the morning, and then I thought about it, and then I had one at the end. So basically, to encompass my Disney trip, I thought about this coffee.
Kira was like, my Disney trip was like, it was like a 6, and then now it's an 8 or something.
It got increased by 2 points.
Yes.
Possibly 3.
Because you were like cold all day, so you were like, I'm kind of
cold all day.
Huh. But coffee. Yeah, that cold brew is really good, and I've had it before. But again, out for 2025 is tummy aches, so no dairy for Barry.
Yeah.
What's your coffee of the week, Ben?
My coffee? That's a really wonderful question. I've had so much coffee this week, being back in California, because California, Southern California, has the best coffee in the U.S., in my opinion.
Really?
Having lived elsewhere in the U.S., I just think, like, there's the most options, but you also pay for it. Like, it's pretty expensive here. Where have we been? Where did we go? I don't know. I really liked,
I know.
Okay. We went to Better Buzz, and I got their Snickerdoodle latte. And usually when I go to Better Buzz, I only get like a honey latte, but I was feeling a little sweet tooth. And I got their Snickerdoodle latte with almond milk, and it was really creamy and delicious. Mm. And I like chugged it. So
you did.
I think that's that. And there are two people in this world. There are the people that sip coffee, and there are the people that chug coffee. And Kira is definitely a sipper. And I'll be like done with the whole coffee and she's on her like second sip, which I think is hilarious.
It's because like that is like my source of joy. So like it has to stay in the cup.
I'm like, this is my source of joy. Let me like down it before anything takes it away from me. Like it gets toppled over or something and it knocks over. Anyway, okay, Caitlin.
Well, so in El Paso, we tried this little, I think it's called, oh my gosh. It's like in a box car. I was telling about it earlier. But it's I'm gonna butcher this name. I know it's so popular, but horchata.
Horchata.
Horchata. Yeah. It was a horchata latte with oat milk. It was so, and I got it hot because it was kind of cold out. Mm-hmm. It was so good.
Really?
So good. Yeah.
Do you remember what the place was called?
Not off the top of my mind, my head.
I think it's so cool, like, when people reclaim, like, parts of trains, like, boxcars,
yes,
whatever, and, like, make something. There are, like, a lot of, like, places in my hometown are, like, they take a caboose and they'll turn it into, like, an ice cream shop or something. I just think it's so cool.
Yeah.
And, like, it works. Or, like, at the camp I go to, they turned a caboose into a cabin. I'm like, that's so fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was like shipping containers.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they stacked them on, and then the bottom one you went and ordered your coffee, and then you could go up and sit in the top one.
Yeah.
It was so cozy. And like we sat up there for Bailey and I like sat up there for hours, like just mm-hmm. like so cozy with my it was really good. It was really good.
So
that was definitely
fun.
My one for the week.
Okay.
This concludes the coffee of the week segment.
You guys are so welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Kira, for originating for this segment.
Okay, so we have a few questions for you, Caitlin.
Okay.
And, yeah. Okay, so I feel like because you were acting professor, we have to ask you, just so that everyone knows, but how did you get into acting?
Oh, when I was 12 years old, I played a turkey. And Honk Jr.
What?
Yeah, so Honk Jr. is like the musical version of The Ugly Duckling.
Fun.
And I was a turkey and a goose. And literally, like, my only line as the turkey was like, I made it through Thanksgiving at the very end of the play. And, but, like, something in me, I was 12. And, like, something, the director of that play had just a beautiful passion for working with kids.
Mm.
And, like, he would, like, the way he directed and taught was, like, you could never make mistake. Like, it was like everything was welcome. And I just remember him like trying to get us to sing out.
Mm.
And he was like, come on, like so loud. And he was like, just do it ugly. Like, he was like, just let it be ugly, but just like, like sing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was something in, I was a pretty shy, anxious kid. And
can't imagine that.
I'm like, something in me was like terrified, I think. But so drawn to, like, just being able to fully express whatever was being asked of me. And so that honestly started my journey. And then, like, through him and through that theater group, he also, like, believed in the power of children and, like the kids can do cool things.
Mm-hmm.
So he had us, like, teaching, directing, stage managing, building sets, like, acting, of course, like doing everything and like running the theater group.
Yeah.
And so I got a lot of hands-on experience like acting, but then also just collaborating with other artists in different capacities.
Yeah.
And yeah, like one show turned into, I don't even know how many, tons. Yeah.
Wow. Did you do like directing and stuff when you were?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I think I started directing when I was 15.
Yeah.
And teaching like the younger kids coming up.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was like this like cyclical, like the older kids would teach the younger ones and they would like feed into the older kids and then cycle through. And so I remember directing my first thing at 15 and then I directed a lot, like taught a lot. Mm-hmm. And so there were like, I love the acting, but I also love the teaching and directing side.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love that it was like a little bud from like such a young age, even the teaching part of it, mm-hmm. like, and like now, like think about how many people you taught, like it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it like, were you teaching acting or were you teaching like stage etiquette or like what was it that you were teaching?
It was all acting.
Yeah.
So it was like acting classes and camps for the younger kids.
Cute.
Yeah. And then directing. All ages, like directing plays or one acts or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was kind of, but it was all acting
mm-hmm.
focused. Yeah.
That's crazy though, because that's kind of what you were saying about the red thread too,
mm-hmm.
of you happen to go to an acting program where they taught you how to also teach and now you teach JP Catholic students.
Yeah.
And like, it was a perfect setup for you.
It really was. Like, I see like God's plan for my life all like through the entire. And it doesn't always make sense at the moment. It's like, yeah, during a breakdown or whatever, it's like, nothing's happening. But like looking back, it's like each piece perfectly fitting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about teaching at JP Catholic?
Oh,
Or one of the favorites.
One of the, yeah, there's so many favorites. One is I love connecting. Oh, how do I say this right? I love connecting with people. That sounds like so surface level, but I love seeing the hearts of my students and then being able to like pull on their heart and like pull things out of it. Because I think like, I mean, you guys, like, you're successful because you're, like, your heart's there. So it's, like, already there. It's just, like, I love to get to know it, and then together we can figure out how to pull it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so different than I feel, like, most acting teachers are, because it's a lot of performance-driven, whereas this is, let's get to the heart of what makes you a good actor and a good person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is invaluable.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, like, acting is so connected to the human person. And, like, I mean, you guys know, like, having gone through the program at JP Catholic, like, it's so connected to your humanity. And, like, being able to get in touch with that is the first thing to making a good actor. Often, I think we think of it as reverse of, like, I'm going to be a great actor and then I'll do something with my humanity, but it's so like reversed. It's I like having gone through the program myself, I definitely grew as an actor, and I can say I'm a much better actor now, but part of the reason I grew as an actor is because I grew as a person, and they're like so linked.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of the culture right now in Hollywood pushes you to hustle and to make a name for yourself and to do as much work as possible. But kind of what our mindset at the school and what you've taught us is, it's not so much important of what you do as how well you do it and how authentic you are as a person.
Yeah.
Because that's what makes beautiful art, is when you pour your heart and soul into it rather than just do it for the paycheck or for the name in the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is so countercultural, but like, I don't think there's anything more fulfilling than like actually making art that like comes from our humanity, because like, like if it doesn't come from me, then it, like if it doesn't come from my humanity, then it's just like, what is it? What's the point of it? Like, it's not truth. And like, you can like phone it in, but it's not gonna affect anyone. It's not gonna, I don't know.
Might entertain them.
Yeah.
It's not.
And it might not be very good.
Like, yeah, it could be boring.
Yeah.
I'm just dumb.
And like something that I remember Professor Eske said was like, you'll be able to notice when you're watching stuff, watching TV, watching movies, like you'll be able to notice when something is crap. And like that has stuck with me. Like I'm like, and it's hard to explain to people that haven't been through the program. Like I don't know how our listeners are gonna take any of this, but I'll be like, yeah, I didn't believe that, and that performance might have been enough for some people, but then I'm like, no, but there is like a deeper there was something deeper underneath that, like, they didn't go for it or something like that when I'm watching different performances. And I'm not saying I analyze or overanalyze different actors' performances. I definitely don't, because I know that I still have a lot to learn. But, like, that's just something that, I don't know, is on my mind.
Yeah.
With them.
Yeah. A question that I have for you that I genuinely really want to hear an answer to this. For my own sake, too, but like for everyone else's sake, because I, you know, there might be people from the school that are listening, but there's probably people who haven't gone to the school and like been taught by you. But what's like some advice that you would give to a young budding actor who's like, I don't know what to do. What's the next step? It maybe hasn't gone to school or is just like, I guess, freshman. What would you say to them?
Ooh, like studying acting at JP?
Like starting.
Or just like maybe not even studying, because there's a lot of actors that maybe don't go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your biggest piece of advice for a young actor.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I think I would say my first piece of advice, and this comes from Professor Eske too. Well, Professor Eske was recently saying, like, you need to get in touch with like your humanity. Like, get in touch with what moves you, right? And to put it kind of, to, or just add on to that, I think you're going to have to get in touch with what lights you up and with what, like, breaks your heart as the very foundational step. Because every role you step into, the characters are wanting something. Like, it all involves want, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the very first step for an actor before you do any of that character work or anything like that is to get in touch with, like, your want. This is actually, it's so interesting. Like, this has recently in the last year been a prayer for me, is simply telling Jesus I want. Like, sometimes that's all I can say when I'm aching really badly for something. Sometimes all I can muster is, like, Jesus, I want. Like, just, like, and I don't even always finish that sentence. Like, I want kind of becomes its own prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really think that, kind of like going back to what we were saying a few minutes ago, of it all connects back to your own humanity, that's a really deep dive. Like, that's not something you're going to know in a quarter or in 10 weeks or, like, even now. I mean,
like, it's a constant discovery.
It really is. And I think to, like, start to be open to that, because I think so many people think they're open to it, but then it gets painful and it's like, no, I'd rather just get the script. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather just kind of hide behind something. And it just does not work. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? What's the biggest reason?
Yeah. Well, you had said something a few minutes ago, Mary, like, that it's all about truth.
Yeah.
Or how, like, the truth of your... And I think, like, if you're not in touch with your own wants or your own ache, yeah. It just becomes kind of a pretending at something,
yeah.
A pretending at want and a pretending at, like, and then we have to kind of justify it, like, oh, well, this character, we kind of approach it from, like, this logical space of, like, oh, well, I'm sure the character wants this or they're going after it. But it hasn't penetrated.
Stereotypes.
It does. And it hasn't, like, penetrated the heart or the base level.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the schmackty
kind of side of things. And I think, like,
schmacting, for everyone who doesn't know, oh, yeah. is a term of when acting is very fake.
Yeah.
Like
played at.
Played at, or stereotypes that aren't thought through. We call it schmacting.
Yeah.
I think a good example of this is, like, if you haven't lived it, it's hard to express it. One of my friends, she just recently had a baby a couple months ago, and we were talking through voice notes, and she was saying how she had this very vivid picture of what motherhood would look like to her. And then she had a baby, and she was like, oh my gosh, it's so different. Not in a bad way, in a very beautiful way.
Mm-hmm.
But that almost makes me think, like, if you aren't fully expressed as a human being and you're not in touch with your emotions, then how could you possibly play someone who is going through something that you haven't been through?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to experience life and have heartbreak and have all these hard things in order to know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean to go and purposely hurt yourself or anything like that, but it's just we all have our own journey and to experience it fully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like, with that, like, I mean, like, the beautiful thing is, like, all of that matters. Like, it's, I think sometimes with certain actors I've met, it's kind of like, well, I just experience it because I'm an artist. It just ends there. Like, you're an artist, so you just do these things, right? But I think, like, if you really experience that journey with, and, like, offer it over to Jesus, like, all of it matters.
Yeah.
Like, which is so beautiful. Like, nothing goes to waste. Nothing is ever outside the scope of his grace and his glory. And so if I can be in touch with those things, like, I'm going to find God there. Like, if I pull that red thread, I'm going to find him there.
Yeah.
And he's going to be open to all of that and redeem it all as in a way that he sees fit. But I have to first acknowledge what is. Because otherwise I'm just kind of, you know, and one of my favorite priests said, like, God cannot love a fake version of you. Like, he can't. There's only you, and he sees you, but you have to be willing to, like, give that to him.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think it's the same for acting. It's like, I can't play a fake version of me. I can play myself under different circumstances and imaginary circumstances, but I can't play a fake version of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or, I mean, if you did, it wouldn't be acting. It
was
something else. And I can only speak from my own experience, but definitely through going through this process of learning how to act properly. I mean, like, when I was going through, you know, high school and, like, taking acting classes in high school, like, it wasn't, there was no stress on artistry. There's no stress on humanity. It was just, like, blocking, essentially, and how, like, the line reads, basically, not really. It didn't come from a place of authentic, true, I don't know. It didn't come from me. And I remember, like, I just think that going through the program and, like, having you as a professor and, like, the ways you saw parts of me that, like, I was, like, either scared to, like, go there, or, like, you would just, like, bring, like, you just have such a gift to bring those parts of me out, which is, like, a directorial gift and, like, also just being an educator and a teacher. That's, like, definitely a gift. But I don't know. Like, I guess, like, I would encourage actors to, like, take that leap, because, like, it's uncomfortable at first. But, like, if you have a support system and you're, like, surrounded by people, and, like, if you have a great professor like Caitlin's later, like, who will catch you and be there for you, like, it's, like, that path to, like, self-discovery. Like, I had no idea. I thought I was going to school to, like, act. Like, I don't know. But then, like, it became, like, a path of, like, self-discovery, and, like, I learned so much about who I am and who God says I am. And I don't know. I just think, like, there might be fear at first, but I have no regret in the long run. And, like,
you mean to go to school?
To like, go to the deep, like, to pull on the red thread, to go deeper.
With yourself.
Is what I mean. Yeah. And acting. Because I think sometimes people are scared of it and they don't want to.
Yeah. I think there. I've noticed a lot of people are kind of like what we were talking about earlier in our conversations, of people are scared of being fully seen. Because if you're fully seen, that gives people the opportunity to see the bad parts of you. And we're all afraid of that, you know? But I think that when you're fully, like, open with yourself and who you are, that's when you almost get to, like, love yourself completely.
Yeah.
With all the good and the bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's also, like, what acting is. Like, every character has, like, we often, a lot of the kids' movies will paint it as, oh, this is the villain and this is the hero. But the reality is that most characters are so complex. That's why even playing the villain, like, you have to fight for them. Like, they, in your mind, have to be doing the right thing in their own mind. Or there's something pulling at them where they can't do the right thing. And that's why acting, like, you have to be fully aware of all of that. Because I remember you were telling me that for Yelena and Uncle Vanya.
Yeah.
Like, she can't be the villain because maybe to everyone else she is, but to her, she's fighting for something. And she thinks that this is the way she has to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And it can be scary, like, with different... When we're playing characters that have different struggles, some of them, like, really deep struggles. Sometimes even sinful struggles, right? It can be really hard to, like, notice with humility those own weaknesses in us,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, if I'm playing, like, I remember playing a lawyer in Last Days of Deuce Iscariot, like, this lawyer who is, like, hates God, like, absolutely hates God. And it can be so scary of, like, noticing anger in God in myself coming up to the surface. It's like, oh, what's going on there?
Yeah.
But it's like when we step into these areas, you know, things will bubble up, and it's only with humility that we can notice that and be like, oh yeah, of course I have that struggle too. You know, I don't have to act on it, but
right.
But of course it's there. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one more question. And this one kind of goes also to back what we were saying earlier, too. But obviously, you are a Christian and also an actor. So how... I guess you could answer... Let me think of the best way to say this. We can cut out this pause. Well, I think of how to raise this.
Cut it up.
In a piece of cookie.
How would you... Oh gosh, maybe you guys can help me think of how to say this. But like, how do you want to go about using your faith in the industry? Is that... Should I say it like that?
Okay. Yeah.
How would you go about using your faith in the industry?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think one thing is that our faith is never divided from us or from Christ. So, like, if we're alive in Christ, this is something I've been sitting on for a few years now. I'm just going to give a really simple answer, and then I think there's more complex answers that will come with us. But if I believe that Jesus is in me and that he works through me and, like, uses my body and my voice and, like, everything, my heart, right? In a sense, I can walk into any rehearsal room and Christ is present. Like, sometimes I think there's a fear of, like, waiting for the bomb to drop and, like, waiting, like, I'm going to defend Christ right now. Like, waiting for something to come up so that I can proudly, or, like, not proud in a bad way, but, like defend something, right? And, like, feel, like, walk out of there feeling like I've been used by Christ.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's, like, you walk into the rehearsal room and you smile at someone. Or you, notice their ache for something, right? And you're present to them.
Mm.
And that is already, like, Christ doing that,
mm.
like, through you. Like, in a sense, sometimes we don't have to do anything besides just be present because he's already working. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I think the other thing, though, on the catch on the flippity flip, the other side of that is that I do know what I believe. And sometimes that does require a vocal speaking out what I believe in truth, if I'm asked, right? Or if that comes up. And that's happened a few times, and it's really scary, but it's my sister and I call it, like, the Holy Spirit, the little kick, where it's like, if I don't say something, it's a sin. Like, it's like there yes. happens randomly where I feel it in my gut of, like, I speak now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the other side of, like, sometimes it does require. And the other thing, sorry, I'm spaghetti brain. But the other thing is, like, Jesus is the reason for everything I do. And if that's, and obviously that's a work in progress, but I want him to be the reason that I watch the movies I do, or go to work in the morning, or love teaching or directing or acting. Like, I want him to be the reason for everything. And if that's true, then I only want to take projects that I believe are somehow speaking truth. And particularly, like, I love to look at the worldview that stories are presenting. And if the worldview aligns with what I believe at, like, the foundation. It doesn't mean that I'm drawn to tell, like, overtly Christian stories. I'm not. Like, I they often don't speak to me. But to find stories that actually present humanity with a worldview of, like, good and evil and with, like, the goodness of humanity in mind.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're playing the evil character, there's still something that people can be like, oh, that's not how I want to live my life.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And that's touching.
It is. It really is. And, like, that can, like, elevate the good of the story so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, to find the hero of the story and be like, okay, what is being presented here is the idea. And sometimes that's really messy. Like, I mean, my favorite play, one of my favorite plays ever is Uncle Vanya by Chekhov. And it's very messy. I mean, you know, my interpretation of it is probably different than the next person. But I believe that the worldview it's presenting is true, is within the realm of Christian thought. And so, yeah, so the other thing that kind of roots all of my art is I never want to betray, and I know we've talked about, I think we, maybe you were saying something similar to this, but I never want to betray what I authentically believe, because if my art starts being a priority over my faith, something's distorted for me personally. And it doesn't even feel good. Like, it's like,
yeah,
something's out of alignment. Like, it's not,
yeah,
authentic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really good. And also, it's like, everything true is what God says.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are portraying, or if we are being truthful, then ultimately we are, like, glorifying God.
Yeah.
Because the truth is what the Bible says and what God says. But I also think about what you're saying too, the first thing about, like, walking into a room and, like, carrying God with you. I think a lot of times as Christians, we think, like, we have to defend our faith when someone says something, or, like, we have to go on a missions trip in order to be, like, glorifying God. But my dad says this thing sometimes, or he used to say this a lot, where he says, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And I think that we walk past a lot of people who, like, don't have anybody that is, like, speaking truth to them or even authentically loving them. And sometimes, like, as an actor, I think that there's, like, Mary and I, we don't compete with each other ever because ultimately that's not as important as she is to me and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that the acting space brings a lot of competition and a lot of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine walking into a room and being the person that loves, even if you get the part.
Yeah.
Or even if, like, you are more successful. It's like, that doesn't matter to me because that's actually not my priority.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, reminds me of this quote by, it was before he became Pope Benedict, but it was Cardinal Ratzinger, I think it was him, who said, before anything else, every human being has to encounter another human being who says to them, not through literal words, but, like, through their encounter, it is good that you exist.
Mm.
And I think through that, then everything else falls into place.
And how many people don't experience that?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so heartbreaking because I think as actors, because we get to play these characters that are not us, we empathize with a lot of different people.
Yeah.
So I think it's easy for us to look at someone and be like, part of me sort of understands.
Yeah. Like, I think it's interesting. It's like even when we are hurt by people or wronged by people, like, you can still, like, acting is just empathy at its, is it sympathy or empathy? Empathy?
Yeah, empathy.
Yeah. At its core, it's just, like, it's stepping into the shoes of another person and, like, seeing, finding where, I mean, we call it the actor's why, but, like, where my wants and the character's wants come together. And that helps us to be more empathetic human beings to the people around us. That's why, like, I think Professor Eske said, like, acting will make you a saint if you do it correctly or like go about doing it well, because it's like we become more empathetic people. We come to understand ourselves and live more fully in our humanity and who God created us to be. And yeah, I just, that resonates with me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 40 minutes.
Okay. Shall we wrap it up?
Yes.
Oh, this is sad. This was so nice. Our first guest.
I feel like we don't have to do a part two.
Oh my gosh. So.
Yes.
That's so good.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Caitlin, for being our very first guest. Oh my goodness gracious.
Thank you for having me.
If you guys liked having Caitlin on, let us know. I mean, I'm sure you did. It was delightful, but
we literally scratched the surface.
Yeah, we like genuinely, like we could go on and on. But thank you guys for listening to this podcast. And we're excited. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Caitlin. And wow, it's been a fun time.
Yay. Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.